chair, and there were four guys to carry him up and four guys to carry him back. Pope John Paul II?
I think she said Pius the 12th. Is that right?
Oh, Pope Pius the 12th. And I know the Catholics was with us. Boy, they was all scrambling for beads, rosaries. A little kid from Washington, from Fonda was a Catholic. And, of course, he let those guys go up by the rope because they wanted to get their beads. But he'd go mumbling, blessing the beads on that side, and then coming back out, he'd bless the beads on this side. And it was quite a deal to go through that up there.
Okay, this is side two of the interview with Clarence Harms. Okay, Clarence, what did you think of your fellow soldiers while you were in the service?
Well, I fought a lot of the guys, you know. You made friends easy. Everybody was in the same boat. And much as it was shipped around and knocked around, it wasn't too hard. You know, they always accepted newcomers. A lot of them are gone. I used to talk to a guy, he called me at one time from Minnesota. What town was that, yeah? It's on the shore. Oh, that's trouble. My mind, very forgetful. Superior, Minnesota.
Superior, Wisconsin,
Wasn't it Wisconsin? No, right on the border up there in Minnesota, I thought. But we used to talk, and I called him once. And he wasn't too perky, I don't think. He didn't say much. And I haven't heard from him since, so I suppose he's gone. Any of the rest of the guys, I don't know. I doubt there's hardly any of them around. No, you know, you go on a train, it don't take long to know your friends, and you get along better with this one than that one, and it don't take long to pick them out. I know when I was in Africa, we was going to two guys, that was just one in Superior there, and an elderly man walked by and was going to downtown. Going along, Clarence? Come on, let's go. So I went with him. We got up, across the field about halfway. This village was about a mile away, I suppose. The guy pulled out a 10-pound bag of sugar. I said, my God, I said, where'd you guys get that? You know what'll happen if we get caught with that sugar. Yeah. We went up there, and you could hear those drums, bum, 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 different parts of town, warning coming. You didn't see anybody, dark. We stepped on the sidewalk. And we were just surrounded by Italians. Where they come from, I don't know. They was all watching, see? They just, all at once. And yet, then he pulled that sugar out. And I forgot what he got for it. They offered so much and stuff, and he was haggling price. I said, sell them to Sugar. Let's get out of here. Because that wasn't, that didn't look too good to me. Outside of that way. Well, at one time, this bar had a pretty good looking gal in there. And we were going to bring her flowers one night. That really, that place there had some nice flowers. We was picking some of them. And the elderly woman come out. And she was saving them for her graves. She said, we had a guy with us that could talk Italian. That's how I, he translated. I said, well, let's pay her for him. She wouldn't take him back. She wouldn't take money. She made us feel so damn cheap that she never did it again. She had a nice bunch of flowers there. And she knew what we were going to do with them. So maybe some other guys did the same darn thing already. I don't know. And we get Christmas, well, I don't know, Christmas time, we got some liquor once. Whiskey and stuff. They divided, I don't know how much we got. And then once a month, they'd have a keg of beer. And they had a place building there, and they put the keg of beer in there, and then you go and get your beer for, I don't know, 10 cents a pint or something. And one had a bigger beer container than the other. Because it didn't matter what size, it was 10 cents. Oh, you should have seen some of the beer containers. They were huge. Then everybody was looking for a container. They wanted a bigger one. But when it was gone, that was it. That's all. There was no second one or anything. But it was just comical, see, some of the containers the boys had. See, it was a small outfit. We were a small outfit. I don't know how many men there would be about, but and we had they send us some bananas once. They were horrible. I don't know why they even send them up. But
what did you think of your officers?
They were good. We never had no trouble. Well, we had a little Frenchman one time. He went downtown and he was singing. He had a few beers. He was singing. They put him in jail. Then one time this one little guy, he went to bed and he slept on top of the first sergeant. He had to sleep in his pup tent outside, rain or anything like that. I don't know how long. I kind of felt sorry for that guy. That little old pup tent, you know, and muddy and rainy. But that didn't matter. He got his punishment. Well, you didn't have much choice. You either got along with them or they'd all be against you. You know, if you like some guys, you just let them alone.
What were interracial relations like in the military at that time?
Well, there was black guys in there, but in Utah, where they had that base, they had a Mason-Dixon line there. Just, you don't cross that line, either one. black from one side and white from the other. And we never had any black guys in our outfit. I did see a few. But
do you recall the day your service ended? And what were the circumstances?
Yeah. We had to go back to... it flew us from Fano, that's in northern Italy, back to Foggia. And where we got discharged from up there. And I got to ride in a B-17. And I sat in the bombardiers there, coming back. See, we got on the plane, I don't know, about 6-8 men. They kind of distributed the weight. And I took the bombardier's chair, so I was a bombardier. But I did get to ride a fortress. Just like anything else, I guess. I know the radio was out on it, and what they do then is tip their wings and circle first before they land. Those planes they trained with in Madras, Oregon, they weren't really fit to train with either, but one of those come down, belly landed, but nobody got hurt. And they didn't jump out because a turret gunner down below the ship, the turret was stuck and they couldn't get him out. And long as they couldn't get him out, they weren't going to go and jump out. But before it crash landed, they did get him out. So they were lucky there. No, they stuck together. They had that Norden bomb sight then.
And when did you get back to the U.S.?
Just before Thanksgiving, that'd be a little after the middle of November. No, once they got going home, you wasn't around very long. We landed in Virginia, I suppose, and was there in camp. But they were going out pretty steady, you know. And pretty soon your name, and you got on the train and took me to enough men to go on a train to go to Camp Grant, Illinois. But, it went pretty fast. We'd come in there at night, another day or so, and I think I was on my way home. I landed in, I got to Sioux City at night. I got a motel room. Next morning, I got up and started hitchhiking, walked out to 75. That's one thing during the World War II, you was on a road, you didn't have to wait long. You was picked up, I don't care who it was. They was very good because I know Walla Walla, Washington, and I and a guy from Florida, we always tried all the restaurants out on our day off. Go out in the afternoon and then we try them in one town, then we go to the next town because you didn't have no trouble getting a ride to go up there or go back. They was good. They was good. Same way when I come from Sioux City, just got out on a highway there and bang, right away, had a ride, see? No, you didn't have any trouble. You could trust people. You know, that was a good thing, yet you could trust on them. Now it'd be hardly safe to take a ride. I'd be leery on it anyway.
What was the readjustment to civilian life like for you when you returned?
I was going to take a week off. The boss called up and wanted me to go to work right away. So I did, but it was lonesome. It was dull at first. You used to be and have a bunch of guys around. All of a sudden there, you sit you out there by yourself again. And so maybe the best thing is I went to work right away anyway and get to see different people.
And what did you go to work doing?
Working in the Mars factory. Delivering feed, working with chicks, a little bit of everything.
Did you ever make use of the GI Bill?
No, that's one mistake I made. I and my brother, we talked it over. One mistake made. You know, we figured maybe we were going to get some extra money from the government, but that never happened, like in World War I, where some of them guys, when they were out later on, they got a pension plan from the government. Well, we thought maybe that's going to be the same thing again, but it didn't work. No, that's one mistake.
So what did you go on to do as a career after the war?
Well, I worked in the Mars factory, then did a little carpenter work, and then I went to business here in Hayward. Been here ever since. That's the hardest, roughest job there is feed business.
Why's that?
Hard work. I threw 100 pound sacks of feed for I don't know how many years. Then they come down to 50. Some in 25, that was a blessing. And you'd trust a guy, he'd order feed and you'd trust him. And he'd let you sit. That's the biggest problem. Take advantage of you, some of these people. There's a lot of good customers, but some of them are shysters, too. And I think some of them are still shysters. It ain't only what they owe you, but what do they owe the other guy, too. They probably did that town, that town. They owe everybody. No, we lost money on some of them guys. Some of them went bankrupt, you know, and he was sick. I don't think that bankruptcy law is really fair. Letting the guy get off too easy. And some will go through it twice.
When did you come to Haywarden, and what was that business called?
I bought out Johnny Wilkinson. He was in the produce business, feed business. We bought him out. And what year was that? 52?
At what point did you get married and have children?
Now you're asking hard questions. Well, she won't answer that for me, will she? Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, we got married shortly before Christmas because it took a honeymoon to California to her brother and saw the Rose Bowl parade. That'd be in 42. No.
Well,
it'll be 52. Because
we still got married in 51.
You know, I have trouble keeping track of the dates and stuff like that. I don't know. Now, she knows birthdays and all this and that, and I have a heck of a time. If I want to know how old I am, I figure, well, 1914.
First of October,
52, huh? Gee, that long in Hayward.
And what did you call the business?
Arms, Feed, and Supply.
Do you feel you took part in the post-war economic boom?
No. When I got through in the feed business, I was so sick of going to meetings, feed meetings, good feed meetings, corn seed meetings, grass seed meetings, that I quit going to meetings. Always at night, you know, be gone. And I just got tired of it. That's why a lot of this stuff I didn't join up and keep up with.
Do you feel like your military experience influences your thinking about war or about the military in general?
Oh, well, I think it does.
How so?
What you went through and what they go through today is altogether a different story. A lot more modern, better equipment. See, when they went to war in World War II, why, they weren't equipped. Walk guard with a wooden rifle. No, they weren't equipped at all. Surprised how fast they could do that, but they got ready.
What did you think about subsequent wars, such as Vietnam?
Well, I don't know what to tell you what I thought about that. That wasn't very nice. People had it rough. You don't know what it's really like in rice paddies and all that, unless you've been in there. We didn't have that. I know that, like dropping bombs, it's surprising how accurate they are with that today, according to World War II. They had the Norden bomb sight, but it wasn't that accurate. It'd get close. But now, boy, they can really pinpoint those things.
Did your military experience influence you politically in any way?
No, not really.
What political party do you generally align yourself with?
Republican. Been it all my life and still am, so.
How do you feel like your service and military experiences affected your life?
Well, I tell you, I've gone 3.5 years. When I first got in the military, I was getting a dollar. Dollar a day or dollar a month. And then I got, they give us a little raise then, but the pay wasn't very good. And I think I missed out on a lot that, as far as money. The only thing, they furnished everything, sure, you didn't have to buy no clothes and everything else, but still. That wasn't getting your head advancing life either. It's, you're living, they fed you. But a nest egg like that, no. No, I missed out on a lot. It got so at last I didn't even want a letter from home. Because I said, "Don't write a letter again," and what would I write? That time they censored the letters. You couldn't just write like they do now. They got the telephones and all this and that, and call this and that. We didn't have that. He didn't have that. They were a lot stricter. You couldn't say where you was or anything like that. I think they probably had an idea, but it all was sent to the New York Post Office, and from there it was distributed. That was your address. No. I think that's why I was kind of hurried to get out of it, too, unless it's no future for me. I guess you want to make the Air Force, the Army, your career, why? But I know today it's a lot better, boy. These guys are, someone grumbled, but ain't really nothing to grumble about as far as I'm concerned. They grumble, "Oh, Bush is doing this wrong, he's doing that wrong with terrorists." And I think that he sticks to his guns, and he isn't persuaded to do it any other way. Maybe it's a little bit too much that way. I don't know. But there's one thing: they don't push him around. But he's a yes man to me, and a yes man to everybody else. I always thought maybe Terry, when he first started running, would be a good guy, But the more it went on, with him, the less I thought of that man. And I'm surprised that he got beat that bad. I really am. I didn't think he. But I don't get into politics too much. A little interested, but I don't get into it.
Okay, Clarence, I think that's all the questions I have. Is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't covered so far?
No, I think we did a pretty good job.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you for giving this interview, and this will end the interview.
Okay, thank you.